I begged him to do an on-camera interview with us. Hodges repeatedly said no. I believed if I could get him to sit down and talk, it would become clear that he did believe the memos were real. I think Hodges felt the same way, and he was unmovable in his refusal to do an interview. Late that night, CBS News president Andrew Hayward showed up at the 60 Minutes building, something I didn't see happen very often at all. I was summoned, along with Josh Howard, to join him in Betsy West's office. Betsy was on the phone, as she had been for 36 hours. Andrew asked how many document analysts we could get together over the weekend to look at the documents with the idea of holding a news conference on Monday. He visualized a sea of analysts who would literally stand behind the documents. I repeated the tired mantra that I had gone through with Andrew and every other CBS executive time and time again. I told him that no decent analyst could say with 100% certainty that the documents were real. They were copies. There was no ink or paper to test. We'd come to confidence about the documents through an analyst and our vetting of the documents and our meshing of the memos with the official record and the corroboration of the former commander of the unit. I told Andrew that no reputable analyst would give a complete assurance of authenticity or of fabrication. Andrew said, "Then let's get some lousy analysts of our own." I couldn't believe it. That's not what reporting is supposed to be. I returned to my hotel, and back in the room, the phone rang. It was Dan. "Have you eaten anything today?" he rasped out. I hadn't. Of course I hadn't. In fact, I didn't remember the last time I'd eaten. I was shaky and trembling and weak and too tired to sleep. He told me if I didn't order some soup that instant, he was going to call the hotel and ask someone to come up and force feed me. I ordered some broth and sipped it begrudgingly, sobbed through a phone call to my husband, and then spent the night leaping on and off the bed and checking the computer repeatedly to see what was online. What was the Washington Post running? How about the LA Times? What did the New York Times have in the morning? Once again, it was bad. Now they were all including General Hodges recanting in their new stories. By the next morning, I was exhausted and angry. We had a conference call at 9 a.m. with our public relations people and Josh, Betsy, and Andrew. We all agreed we were in deep trouble and tried to brainstorm various ways to begin digging out of the mess.